To be honest, I think the biggest thing I've realized over my years, I'm 38. I feel like I'm at the midlife right now. And I look back of what I've accomplished in this time, and I was in so hard on myself. I always tell myself I should have done more. My wife always looks back and said, "You did the best with what you had. Why are you complaining?" You know? And I guess the one tip or advice I would give everyone is don't be so hard on yourself.
All right, welcome to the Deeper Than Dope podcast. Today we have probably the best guest we've ever had.
I agree.
Because it's David Esseman, if I said it right.
Yes, you said it right.
Freaking, I love you, David. I'm super excited that you're on here, man.
Thank you.
So David is a current Dirty Dope franchisee. They just opened up Ogden. They're opening up another handful down in Vegas. They have an amazing group with Bronson Cafusi, with Eli, a former Domino's general manager, Cash Capital with Brock.
Man, we're lucky. Trio up
there. It really is.
And it was you're a week and a half into full launch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been quite the ride. We actually had our first call. We got the whole team together, did a little quick huddle, find out what went right, what went wrong, what we can improve upon. So that was really helpful.
Good. We'll share those with us too, so we can apply them to us and help other franchisees as well.
Absolutely.
Give us a little bit of your background, David.
Yeah, I'll keep it real short and concise. I grew up in a small town. It's called Turlock, California. So it's close to Modesto, California, Central Valley, agricultural town, small Podunky town. I'm just going to say it. Haven't been back since. I got to Utah in 2002. Went to Brigham Young University for a year, and then I served in LDS Mission in Brazil for 2 years.
Where?
So I served in Belo Horizonte.
Okay. So that's Minas Gerais. Half of our production team is
Brazilian.
I'm telling you, you need to go chat with them.
I will. But yeah, so I met my wife after I got back from a mission. She's from Italy. She's from Torino. She moved to the Canary Islands, and then I met her at BYU, and we did door-to-door sales for about 9 years. I worked at Vivint. At the time, it was APX. You probably remember those days. Did door-to-door all over the country. I started in California. I lived in Alaska. I lived in Nebraska. My daughter was born there. I've lived in Louisiana. You name it, I've lived there.
You're all over.
Yeah, all over. Then we figured it wasn't for us with all the kiddos coming along. So we transitioned into real estate. So I got my real estate license and became a broker. I own my own real estate company. It's been about 13 years now.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's my main business, real estate. We got into investing in properties. I own a property management company. Then I wanted to diversify, so I got into franchising. So my first franchise was Crumble Cookies here in Lehi, Utah. Operated that for about 2 years and then exited that. Reinvested in Cookie Cutters, Haircuts for Kids. You're kind of seeing the theme here, right, with cookies. And then I wanted to diversify some more, so I actually got into the Joint Chiropractic, which is a franchise for chiropractic needs. And so I currently own the Joint Chiropractic in Idaho Falls, Twin Falls, and we're actually opening Pocatello in the next 2 months. And then we just opened up Dirty Dough. We got involved with that opportunity that opened up last month in North Ogden, Utah, and we got a couple under our belts right now, and we're just going to grow from there. So here I am.
That's awesome.
So if I'm hearing a theme real quick, passive income has been always a big thing that set you up. Not a normal career path necessarily, but something that it can, does that segue into finding more joy and fulfillment? Like how does that set you up for your lifestyle?
I love that question because I asked myself that question, what does passive income mean to me specifically? And it does equate to more joy and fulfillment in my life. And what that means for me specifically is just being able to have time with my family. My kids are one of my greatest joys in life, my wife, and my mental health. Like, believe it or not, that is a high priority for me. And I knew from knocking doors and, you know, selling security systems, I wasn't going to have my body and my mind 100% every single day. And I wouldn't have the opportunity to take breaks when needed working for a corporate employer, right? Yep. So I decided real quickly I needed to invest in real estate. And to speed up the process, I needed to invest in franchising so I could have that passive income, so I could have that time to spend with my family and for myself. Going to the gym, taking care of my health.
Yep. Super cool.
And I've seen that the I like that you've already defined that though, because a lot of time it's we want the money because that'll make us happy. Right. But how is the question?
Yeah.
And you defined your how. The how is to just have more time with my family.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the times, at least for me, my personal journey was, it was to say I want more money to be happier, but I didn't define the how as well as I should have. And then I realized, wait, I could probably just choose to have more time with my family right now.
Exactly.
And I avoided a lot of that mess.
Yeah.
So I like that you've already thought about that, which is very apparent. Now you talk about passive income with franchises.
Yes.
How does that work with like a cookie cutter, which I went for the first time the week before last.
Off my recommendation.
Yes. I went to the Lehigh one and we had taken my son to two other places and he threw a fit, wouldn't get his haircut.
Yeah.
And then they gave him a little sucker. He sat in the little police car. He had his little cape. They had a TV right there. And I gave him my phone. He's playing Fruit Ninja, 2 years old. While he's watching Bluey in the background. And he loved it. And then he got a balloon before he left.
Yeah.
What a cool franchise.
Secret.
Yeah.
But I guess to dive in more, and my question is, does it start off passively? Do you have to go figure it out first and then you hand it off to somebody?
I'm going to give it to you straight. It really depends on what your in-game plan is, right? A lot of people want a small business and they want to be the operators. Uh-huh. For them, that replaces their current job in which they're unsatisfied or getting no fulfillment from. And so they decide to operate it.
Yep.
I learned that with Crumble, that I would not become an operator in my franchises, right? So I learned one to operate my franchises as if I were, you know, if I were to die, no one would ever know. That was actually my tagline. Operate as if I were to die today, no one would ever know. And then I purposely invested in franchises out of state for that reason or far away from where I live. So I actually went to my franchise Cookie Cutters for the first time in like 2 years.
And that's in St. George, right?
Yeah, I was on vacation there. And I stepped in for the first time in like 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's like, who are you? You know, my manager knew who I was. Yeah, I talked to her weekly, but everyone else was like, we're meeting them for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I wanted something truly passive that I could pass down to my kids or sell right in the future for retirement. And so for me, I've always set up my franchises that way. Operations, you know, standard operating procedures, setting it up where someone could step into my shoes and run with it. So.
And so you dove in, you figured out the standard operating procedures, built them, and then handed it off to a manager that you meet with and just checking in.
I do, yeah. So I check in the way I structure it. I'm very big on my time. Like my time is like, it's worth more than money. Like it really is. And so my days, if you were to open my phone, my calendar, my days, 15 minute allotments for each of my appointments, all the way from when I get up all the way to the end. Right, of the day. And so for me, I'm like, all right, how do I set this up so I could be vacationing and still have an eye or foothold on my business? So I have 15 minute calls with each of my leaders. I call them leaders because I empower them. And so every Monday at 9:45, I meet with my lead doctor. He's over all my clinics. We talk about previous items, just following up, any challenges, any highlights. We talk about the employees and then we move on. And that's it. It's a quick, efficient 15-minute call. And then I go to my next business, Cookie Cutters. Same thing with the manager. And then lately, I've actually been delegating my executive assistant to take the lead on those calls.
Awesome.
And she only reports to me if there's a big issue that she can't handle.
That's awesome.
Because my philosophy is as I age, I want to become less and less tied to my jobs and focus more and more on my family. That's my number one goal. So learn to delegate to the right people.
Awesome. What is it specifically with your family? You said the family is what brings you the joy and fulfillment.
Absolutely.
Any time with them, vacation time with them, or what's the...
So that's a... If you want to be truthful and honest, like I work from home. And so sometimes it's not a vacation and sometimes it's not quality family time. You know, my kids, because I'm at my desk, they see me and they come in and ask for things. My wife, same thing, you know. Can you go to the grocery store? Can you pick up so-and-so? I'm like, I am working, right? But it's always a thrill and a joy for me to see my kids and what they're doing. Yep. And it gives my wife confidence knowing that I'm in the next room if she really needs me, right? And I could step away because I'm my own boss. I'm dedicated to my work. So if I don't get it done during normal business hours, I'm going to make it up on the front end or the back end, right? Yep. And then as far as vacation, I like to vacation, being that my wife is from Italy in the Canary Islands. We go there every year and we bring the family. Fun. I usually go for about 2 to 3 months. This is the first year that I'm not leaving the country.
Wow.
Yeah, the first year in our 16 years of marriage. I know. And the only reason, and I'm going to blame it on you, because we're working to get these dirty doughs open. Yeah. And my wife's like, there's no way you could leave them.
I need to apologize to your wife then. And I also just heard, I met with Jessica.
Did you?
On Friday.
Jessica, yeah.
And she was talking about your wife. She's like, you haven't met David's wife? What are you doing? She's amazing. And I was like,
she's amazing.
I'm going to take that up with David.
Oh, she's amazing. I got to get her over. Yeah, she's amazing.
That's fun. What about... I mean, this is, you have a very busy schedule, and right before you jumped on, you're like, no, I'm working till midnight. My day ends at midnight. So how do you manage the stress with running Dirty Doughs and Joint Chiropractics and a real estate property management?
Yeah.
What do you do when you get down? How do you
love it?
Be proactive every day. What are those things that you do? And I know you told me one of them, the gym.
I do the gym, but even before I get out of bed, I review in my gratitude journal what I'm grateful for. And then I also review my whole reason for being.
So when you say you review it, are you writing it down, or you've already have your X amount and you're just, you don't have to think, what do I have to be grateful for? You're like, I already know, I just want to review it and
correct.
Remind myself.
And I'll add to that list occasionally.
Okay.
But I do have my core list of what I'm grateful for each day.
I like that, because I'm in like this gratitude chat and I'm just like, I'm sick of like, do I say the same thing? Do I not say it? But then if I don't say it, like, I've already said all my good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to focus on my good ones.
Exactly.
So I'm going to change that. I'm just going to review.
Just review it.
Rather than try to make it up every single day.
Yeah. How long does it take for you to go through that?
It's like 5 minutes. It's just super simple. I go through my checklist as far as my goals for life. I have my 1 year, 3 year, 5 year plan and see where I'm at. My wife hates it because she's like, I'll just be honest. Every time I see your list, you've accomplished everything on that list. And if I don't like it and it's on that list, it's going to happen. That's literally what she tells me. Because I'm like, I look at it every day. It becomes real. Yeah. I've already seen it. It's already happened in my mind. But to keep myself motivated, right, and to keep the stress under control, I do a couple of things. One's prayer and meditation. Yep. I do that every morning. I go to the gym. I actually have an extreme workout. I work out a lot. I run or bike. Or I'm on the elliptical for about 10 to 12 miles every single day.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I'm sitting down most of the time behind a computer. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm like, I have an hour to get it all in. And I like to challenge myself. So that's what I do. I also try and find time to take breaks where I go on vacation. If I'm not going on vacation, I take time to either go out with my wife to lunch, go check the mailbox with her. We go on a walk around the park. You got to break up your day, right? Mm-hmm. You can't be, you're not a machine. And then the last thing that I've been doing recently, which has helped me out a lot, I've been in therapy. Like, I'm like, there's no one, you know, I have no issues, no problems. Start talking to a therapist. I'm like, oh, so that's why I'm triggered when that happens, right? And so that's been great to just talk to someone, not offloading on my wife, right, about my business ventures and stresses. It's been great to talk to a therapist that's open, that could see things that I'm unable to see, mm-hmm. right, and give me feedback and give me ways to cope with stress. So that's been a game changer for me.
Now, in hearing all this, you're clearly a very high performer. Like, goals, manifestation,
absolutely.
Being able to see the future, and achieving that is very high.
It's
a very high priority for you.
Yes.
How do you incorporate what your relationship with your spouse to this?
Love
and
it.
How does she fall in? And how
I
do you
knew where you're going with that. I love that question for a couple of reasons, because we have deep discussions about this, and I always let my wife know that she is number one, kids are number two. Mm-hmm. I'm number three. Number four is business, just so you know. So anything that she needs, she supersedes and trumps everything. So if I'm in a meeting presenting and she needs me, I'm going to drop everything. I'm going to go. So she knows that she could call on me for anything.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't need anything that's pressing, she leaves me to do my work because she knows it gives me joy and fulfillment. And if I'm fulfilled, I'm happier with the kids. I'm happier with her, right? And she gets to buy nice things, right? Let's be real.
Win, win, win.
Yeah, it's a win across the board. But when I've fallen out of balance, it's great to have that spouse to reel me back in and say, you've fallen out of balance. You've neglected these duties. You've achieved these things. But we need to bring this back in harmony with what we agreed upon. And so that's crucial, having that open line of communication and being humble enough to accept that reproof, right?
And how does that, I guess I have a follow-up question too, is like, yeah. How do you help her achieve her goals? Because sometimes in a high-performing relationship,
yes.
There's an expectation that if you're not meeting your goals, you're failing.
Correct.
So how does that work in your relationship?
Yes, and that's a great question because she obviously sees all of these achievements, these outward manifestations of success as we've struggled throughout the years and sacrificed throughout the years to make them come to pass. And oftentimes she doesn't work. She stays at home with the kids. And so she feels underappreciated sometimes and feels like she's not developing her knowledge and she's not excelling. And so we've actually allowed, well, we've discussed and we've done it to where she actually attends classes at BYU occasionally. She'll come up with a class a year. Like, so she's done gardening, florist, I don't even know, botany, I think. She's done a makeup course. So she actually worked at Mac for a little bit. She didn't like it. She's like, I will never work a corporate job, but I'm licensed. She got her AFA license, which is fitness. So she's a fitness instructor. She actually has her real estate license. She actually has her mortgage license. So she's getting licenses and along the way and certifications along the way. But the biggest help she's been in developing her skill set is she's my business partner on paper. And in life, right? So any business venture has her name on paper, but if I have a tough decision, like she came to me, I'm gonna give you a real life example. She came to me on one of my franchises and was like, hey, we could be making an extra 10 grand a month on this franchise net. I'm like, there's no way. She crunched all the numbers. She showed me how. I implemented it and she was right. And that's so she's like, just so you know, for the last year and a half, we've lost $10,000. And I was like, oh my word. So we consult about our business things. I don't overload her with everything.
Yeah.
But if she has a concern, she brings it up. Or if I need her valuable input, she gives it to me.
That's amazing.
Right. So that gives us balance.
Let me jump back onto the therapy. Well, I want to make a comment on that. The reason why your wife can get you back into harmony is because you're 100% open with what harmony means to you. And then now she can call you out on it.
She calls me out because she knows.
Because you set those expectations.
I set those expectations, and so she could call me out on them if I'm not fulfilling them.
So I love that. I think that a lot of people don't do that, or I guess I'm just going to speak for myself. I've purposely not shared goals with other people because I don't want people to hold me accountable.
Yes, you know? I know.
So getting rid of that and like, no, these are the goals. Let's go. Yeah. Hold me accountable. Let's want it.
Should we do that?
100%. Share your goals right now with everyone?
100%. Well, anyways, yeah, we could get it. I did start sharing goals publicly about a year ago, like on social media stuff. And it's been such a big difference. I get the support that I need. It's the opposite of what I thought. I thought it was people calling me out if I didn't reach it.
Correct.
But it's people cheering me on to reach it, which is amazing. Therapy. So I started seeing a therapist as well without thinking that I had any issues, like anxiety or depression or bipolar or something like that. And man, it was awesome. Again, talking to somebody else, and they really do have they don't have a dog in the fight in my business. They don't freaking care.
Correct.
And what I've noticed on the business stand front is I talk with Mike, a partner at business or an advisor or something, and we talk about business and what's best financially, mm-hmm. right? And then you talk about a therapist and it's not about the finances.
No.
You go deeper because what does the finances mean? Well, the finances mean you get money to get what?
Yes.
What emotion are you going for? And with therapy, you just skip straight to the emotion
part. Yeah.
It's not about what's going to be more profitable or not.
No.
It's what's going to make you happier, what's going to align with your goals more. And that's been a big shift in making decisions, focusing on the emotion that I want to receive out of the decision, not the financial benefit.
Exactly.
I was wondering if that's...
No, that's 100%. It's called emotional focus therapy, in fact. So... I actually have a meeting today at 7 with my therapist to discuss that. But I love what you said. It just cuts out the financial aspect, goes right to the emotion, the why, the reason why you're doing things.
That's awesome. And everybody in this room, we're all business people.
Yeah.
And we all see therapists regularly, including behind the scenes. Shout out to Dalton.
Shout out
to also having a messed up mind. I'm just joking.
If you can find a perfect person, let me know. I haven't found it yet.
I haven't found it either, man.
No, I love that more people, especially men, especially business owners, are open to talking about it. Because then it's like, wait, okay, if David, Mike, Bennett, and Dalton...
Yeah.
Are doing it. Maybe I should. I don't know. You know, and I think the answer is yes. Maybe you should.
Everyone should be in it, to be honest. I wholly believe in that. I feel like a lot of people think it's taboo and they don't speak about it, especially for men in business. We're supposed to be tough and not show our emotions. But I think some of the smartest, intelligent beings are in therapy. Yep. They're aware. They're self-aware.
Because you need that emotional intelligence in addition to the business intelligence. And you have to have your mind right if you're going to run a business successfully.
Yes.
And that's what you're working on with them is your mind and your emotions so you can be a better business owner.
Absolutely.
Or break through those ceilings that are limiting you.
Yeah.
A lot of those are predetermined beliefs that hold you back.
How do you, so now taking the joy and fulfillment, and we've heard gratitude every day, working out, meditation, prayer that you've done, and then including your wife and on all aspects of life, even with the business. How do you give other people joy and fulfillment outside of you and your wife, as far as whether it's kids, business partners, employees, friends?
Time. Honestly, I told you before that was my most valuable asset, more so than money. Mm-hmm. And so giving my children time, like going on a walk with them, going on a bike ride. I mean, how many, they know us at the gas station. Like we're buying gum and candy all the time, you know, and you've seen me at the gym with my son.
Yep.
Like I'll take him to the gym bright and early. My wife, same thing, date nights, Fridays, we talk to each other a lot. She's my best friend. We're not perfect. Like we have our issues. We work through them. That's the thing. She knows I'm not going to leave her, which has given her great comfort, but it's time. I just came from a lunch appointment. I was introduced through a colleague, a business partner of mine, through Bronson and Cafuzzi. He introduced me to some guy. I've been having lunch with this guy once a week, and sometimes it's non-business related, right? Yeah. My goal 2 weeks ago was to go on a lunch appointment once a day, non-business related, and connecting with a lot of my friends on a deeper level was eye-opening. A lot of them are going through struggles, you know, in their marriage, mentally, and we were able to connect on a deeper level, which was great for me because we're always talking business. And they've been calling me now. I'm like, oh, I have friends. They actually call me and they want to do it again and again. And I'm like, okay, so giving them my time has helped me.
Allowing them to know that I'm way too business focused as well. And that's why I actually like these podcasts. And I'm like, I'm going to get to know David at a way different level.
Absolutely.
I mean, when we had Josh Steele, I've known Josh literally since I was 1 year old. We've been in the same neighborhood. Get him on the podcast and I'm like, oh, I don't know you as much.
You don't know him, right?
Because now we're actually talking about, I guess, in my opinion, what matters a little bit more, right? The joy and the fulfillment and the bigger purpose of life and not the business or the vacation or whatever like that. And anyways, that's been one of my favorite things about the podcast is being able to connect with people at a different frequency, different way.
Absolutely.
What would you say is like the biggest struggle in regards to mental health or a limiting belief that you've had over the years?
I know that a long time, it took me a long time to get into therapy because it, like I said, it was taboo and I figured, oh, you're weak. You're going there because you have a problem, right? Yep. And you don't want people to know that you're vulnerable, just like them, ironically enough. And so for me, I realized that, you know, if I want to be the best version of myself, not only for myself, but for my friends, my family, I needed to get to the root of everything and figure out my motivation for why I'm here, what I'm doing, right? Otherwise, for me, I'm like, there's no purpose to waking up each day if you don't know that purpose. But also, if you're going through the day and you're going through challenges, you could get help. There are people out there, there's medication out there to help you. You're not here to suffer in that regards if you can control it, right? Or talk to someone about it, and it's okay to do so. That's one of the reasons why I love Dirty Dough. I'll just be honest, your mission statement really drew me in the fact that we were addressing the mental health crisis that's occurring across the nation, even in the world, right? We've seen lots of suicides. I've had friends that are affected by this, families that have been torn apart because of this, relationships. And so for me, anything that I could do to make it more, I guess, acceptable or make it easier to talk about, I'm game. Like, I'm in.
I love it. Thanks for sharing that.
Of course.
Last question for you. What is the legacy you want to leave behind? How does David want to be remembered?
It's funny that you asked that question because I actually envision my funeral all the time. And I'm like, what will people say? And I actually listen to a lot of calls when I call people back, because I am extremely busy. And when I call them back, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you're so busy. And I'm like, do I want to be remembered for being busy? Right? I literally ask myself that question. I call people, oh, you're so busy. You're busy. You have a busy day. And I'm like, is that the signal I'm sending to everyone? And so I want to be remembered for someone that said, despite him being busy, he took time for me. He listened to me. He gave his most valuable asset, which was time, for me. Right? And it counts.
I love that.
Right?
And that, awesome. That funeral activity, I did the same thing. But to come up with my core values, and it was write your own obituary. Yeah. And I would feel like what I give off was the hard work. And then when when it came down to imagining my funeral and writing that, I was like, I don't want people to remember me as a hard worker.
Yes.
Like, I mean, not that I don't, but I don't care about that. Like, that wouldn't make me proud. But like, oh, he worked hard. I'm like, a lot of people work hard, and a lot of people don't do good things, even though they're hard workers. Yeah. So I would recommend everybody do that activity. If you haven't done that, like, imagine you're dying, you're dead.
Yeah.
What does your wife say about you? What do your friends say about you? What does your mom say about you? And then write out the whole obituary. This is how he was remembered by. Pattern, because that was powerful for me, and it sounds like it was powerful for you as well.
Definitely. It was an eye-opener.
I love it. Any other tips and tricks that the audience should be aware of, or things that make you successful?
To be honest, I think the biggest thing I've realized over my years, I'm 38. I feel like I'm at the midlife right now. And I look back of what I've accomplished in this time, and I was in so hard on myself. I always tell myself I should have done more. My wife always looks back and said, you did the best with what you had. Why are you complaining? You know? And I guess the one tip or advice I would give everyone is, don't be so hard on yourself. And don't think that because someone else is at a different position or a different level in their life that you can't get there, or you're not worth it, mm-hmm. right? Because we're all normal people,
yep.
right? We put people on pedestals, but we don't know what struggles they had to go through to get to where they're at. We don't even know if they're really where they're at, right? Yeah. We just assume that from the outside. So don't be too hard on yourselves. Give yourself some leniency and get some therapy. To be honest, go get some therapy. I think it's a great thing to do. I think a lot of the problems that we see in today's world is due to the fact that someone didn't get therapy.
Yep. Yep. In fact, it's funny you say that, because I asked ChatGPT on Iron Man training. Yeah. The last one was self-forgiveness. Uh-huh. I've never heard that in a training program before,
oh, yeah.
but it makes so much sense as far as, like, if we can give ourselves more love, we can get through those barriers.
Yes, 100%.
Well, thanks, David, and we appreciate you coming on another Deeper Than Dope podcast. And then where do our listeners find you?
Yeah, so I took a sabbatical from social media.
Oh, I just saw a post that was like, this is David's assistant posting.
Yeah. I haven't posted in like 3-4 months. That was at my wife's request because of the balance that I told you before.
Uh-huh.
She's like, why are you on here when you can spend time with us? I'm like, you're right. This doesn't bring any value to my life. So you could find me at davidessaman.com. It's my first name, last name.com. You could see kind of what I do. You could find me at David Essaman on Instagram, social media accounts such as Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. It's just my name, right?
Perfect. So we'll drop those in the links to make it easy.
Cool.
Well, thank you, David. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me.